Our scripture reading this afternoon will be taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 17. Genesis 17. We'll read together the first 14 verses. And then also for our confessional reading, Belgic Confession, Article 1. As we indeed are going to be looking together this afternoon at an attribute of God, that attribute being mentioned to us in that article, God declaring himself to be God Almighty. And so Genesis chapter 17, the first 14 verses, and then Belgic Article 1. So, Genesis 17, beginning at verse 1, this is the word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. And this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And then we will read Belgic Confession, Article 1, as it introduces us to the only God. And Article 1 goes as such, We all believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a single and simple spiritual being whom we call God, eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, unchangeable, infinite, almighty, completely wise, just, and good, and the overflowing source of all good. And again, I just draw your attention to one of the attributes there in Article 1, being God and his name as he gives it to Abram, I am God Almighty. And we will make mention of that, of course, as our theme, looking at the Word of God together this afternoon. We are going to focus on the text before us, Genesis chapter 17, and I will, of course, make mention of our confessional statements that remind us of one of the ways that God has revealed himself to us as being God Almighty. We come to Genesis chapter 17, and it is a very familiar passage to us, especially, I think, in our circles, in our background, in the Reformed world. We often would think of Genesis 15 to 17, and especially Genesis 17 as God establishing the sign and seal of the covenant of grace. It is here that we are told of that sign and seal being circumcision, and of course, we would understand that to move through the Old Testament and continue on in our understanding of baptism. And so often, Genesis chapter 17, our focus, or where our mind goes, there's often texts and chapters in the Bible where you say it and immediately something comes to mind. It is usually Genesis 17, and it is circumcision, covenant of grace, baptism. Usually that's where our minds go for many of us in kind of our world, our background. And rightly so. This is exactly what is being articulated here. God is finalizing this covenant with Abram, changes his name to Abraham, gives him a sign and seal of this covenant in the form of circumcision, and commands him to continue that sign and seal through the generations. And so that is exactly, in terms of the content, what is going on here in Genesis chapter 17. What I want to focus our attention on this afternoon is not on the outworking of these things. I don't want to focus on the sign and seal. I don't want to talk about the continuity of circumcision to baptism. I want to speak this afternoon on the designation that God in His wisdom gave of Himself before He actually establishes these things. If we think about it for a minute, the term Almighty God, or El Shaddai, which is going to tie into the sermon, of course, this designation that God has come or is coming to Abram in the ratification, the finalization of this covenant, the covenant of grace, the sign and seal, what God does is He comes to Abram and He says something very specific about Himself before He ever gives the sign and seal. Before He ever finalizes, He comes to Abraham as if to say, Abraham, remember this about me. I am God Almighty, or I am El Shaddai. And then He goes on to give the details of where our minds often go when we think of Genesis chapter 17. This is not something that God is doing by accident. This is not God kind of pulling one of His many names out of a hat, saying, oh, here's one I'm going to use as I come to Abram. He is very purposefully declaring Himself to be El Shaddai, or God Almighty, before He finalizes this covenant with Abraham and ultimately gives him the sign and seal. And so that is where we want to focus our attention this afternoon, on the declaration of God as He calls Himself El Shaddai. Now, how I want to kind of go through this with you is firstly to focus on the name itself. And so I want to focus on El Shaddai. It's important that we come to a very clear understanding of what this means. It's essential, really, to understand what God is doing here in the covenant of grace, the covenant with Abraham, as He's declaring Himself to be El Shaddai. And so we want to come to this term, this designation of God first, and make sure that we understand it. And then you'll notice that there is a call that comes immediately after God's declaration. And so God says, I am Almighty God. And then He says, walk before me and be blameless. And we want to focus on the call of El Shaddai. And then we'll bring this to a culmination in the provision of El Shaddai. All of these things revolving around God's declaration of Himself being El Shaddai. And so first we want to begin with the definition. What does El Shaddai mean? Now, we come to the term El Shaddai. Maybe you've looked at the order of worship and you said, interesting, the sermon title El Shaddai. If that meant anything to you, it was probably either because you have taken Hebrew, and probably for most of us that is not true, or because you are familiar with the song written by Michael Card, El Shaddai. This is really, in our modern context, what has made this name of God, at least known to us in the Hebrew, El Shaddai. I don't think it's in the new Trinity Psalter, but it is certainly, that song is actually in the old Trinity hymnal that we still use at Grace. You could look and you find the word, the song written by Michael Card, El Shaddai. And so for many of us, that is our connection to this this name of God, El Shaddai. It's Michael Card in his song. We want to focus on what does that mean, El Shaddai. It is exactly what God says. He comes to Abram in verse 1 of chapter 17 when he was 99 years old. The Lord, that is Yahweh, right? The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. That's exactly what the Lord says to Abram. Yahweh appears and he says, I am El Shaddai. Now, as we think about the definitions here, the word El is very easy. That's the easy part. El is the very simple designation for God. So when you come across just your generic word, G-O-D, God, in its most broad concept and reality, it is usually the word El in Hebrew, El. So God Almighty, the El part is God. Very simple. I don't think we need to do anything more with that than to say that is what is translated God. We understand what that means. We are talking about God. But he adds, God adds to this designation, I am God indeed, but I am God Almighty. Or he adds the word Shaddai to this. I am El Shaddai. Now Shaddai is a little bit more tricky. It's a tougher word to translate one word for another. If you know two languages, sometimes you'll struggle with, there's a word in the one language that is one word and it encapsulates such a plethora of meaning. That one word just kind of speaks to a big situation, and you can use one word and it captures it with that one word, and then you try to translate that into a different language and you don't have a word that kind of that translates the same way, and so you struggle trying to find one word for another. This word Shaddai is one of those words. There's many of them, but this is one of those words that is a little bit difficult to capture with one word in English. You'll see in most modern translations, the New King James being one of them, of course, that they are going to translate it Almighty. And certainly, that is where this word takes your mind. It is certainly speaking of God's power. There's no question about it as you look at this word. Thinking about God and his power, that he is all-powerful. If you think about his omnipotence, all-powerful, right? Shaddai does capture that idea of God's power, that he is a powerful God, he is all-powerful, and he can do whatever he wants, however he wants it, whenever he wants. There's nothing that can stop God from doing what he wants to do. He is almighty. He has infinite power. He is power, right? And so certainly Shaddai speaks of this reality of God, speaking of his power, and that is where the translators choose the word almighty. In terms of Shaddai, I am God Almighty. It speaks certainly of his power. But it is far more, this word Shaddai is far more specific than just a generic statement of God's all-powerfulness. There is more of a spear point, if you will. There's more of a careful nuance to this word than just the fact that God has all power. It also speaks of God being in and of himself sufficient for all things. He is all sufficient. And so it's interesting, and we'll get into this in a minute, but it's interesting, in some of the older translations, you will actually turn to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, and you will find the language being, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God all-sufficient. The Genevan Bible, 1560, so the Puritan, the old Puritan Bible, before the King James Version was translated, the old Puritan Bible, the Genevan Bible, actually, if you were to look at Genesis 17:1, it is translated that way, that I am God all-sufficient. In our confessional background, you look at least in terms of my heritage, you look at Westminster and you look at question answer 7 in the larger catechism, and where it states that God is, so that the question is, what is God? And then you have a long list in terms of the answer, much like Belgic 1, in terms of God is. One of the attributes there is God is all sufficient. And the proof text is Genesis 17:1. So there is a history of translating this word, God all-sufficient. And there, the translators are trying to capture this other nuance of the word, where it's not just that God is all-powerful, though he is, but in that power, he is all-sufficient. God has the ability, he has the power to give, to fulfill everything that he has promised. Now, this is very important for us when we come to the Abrahamic covenant. Because what we have, if you remember, it doesn't start in Genesis chapter 17. It actually starts in Genesis chapter 15. When God comes to Abraham, or Abram at that point, his name hadn't been changed. And he says to Abram, in the beginning of this, he actually gives him the promise. What is this covenant that has been ratified in 17, that you've given a sign and seal to God in circumcision? What actually is the promise? What is the covenant? Not just the sign and seal of it, but what is the promise of it? What's the essence of what's going on? And we get that in chapter 15. Verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield. Okay, I am your shield. Now that word shield, before we go any further, of course speaks of that power of God. I am your shield, I am your protector, I will keep you, I am your shield. But then God says, not only am I your shield, but I myself am your exceedingly great reward. You see, God had come to Abram, and he had promised not just his power of protection, but he had promised himself to Abraham as the reward. Abram, I am your shield, but I am also myself, God. I am your great reward. He doesn't say, I will give you a great reward. He says, I am your great reward. God is promising himself in this covenant made with Abraham, in the covenant of grace. God himself is promising himself as the great blessing. And so he comes to Abram in Genesis chapter 17, and very purposefully he says, Abram, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty, or I am God All-Sufficient. I am your shield and your very great reward. I am powerful enough to bring you that which I have promised, and what I have promised is myself. I am all-sufficient to do that which I have promised. And so he comes to Abram and he says, I am able to fulfill this promise of giving myself to you. I am El Shaddai. And I will be a blessing myself. I will be a blessing. I am El Shaddai, and I will be a blessing to you, and I will be a blessing to your offspring, and I will eventually be a blessing to the nations. Now that blessing has already been given content. It is God himself. He is the great blessing. And Abram, I will be a blessing to you, and I will be a blessing to your offspring, and I will be a blessing to the nations. I am El Shaddai. I am Almighty God. I am all sufficient to do exactly what I have promised. So he is a God. When God comes to Abram, when he comes to us, and he says, I am El Shaddai, he is saying to us that I am a God who is not only able to bring you into a state of blessing, but I am able to bring you to myself as that blessing. It's quite something. It's fascinating to trace the Old Testament use of this name of God, El Shaddai. I'm not going to do it exhaustively. I'll touch a little bit of it here, and then in a few minutes I'll touch on it again. But here we have this promise to Abram, I am El Shaddai, I am all-powerful, and I, in the same sense, the same word, I am all-sufficient, I'm going to make myself the blessing to you. And then you go through the Old Testament usage of this word, this name of God, and this whole flood of meaning comes back every time you come to it. And so I'll give you a couple of examples. Genesis chapter 28, as you think about this covenant, the promises of the covenant going forward, right? God comes here in Genesis chapter 28 through Isaac blessing Jacob. And so you see then the nations, or the offspring, I should say, the Abraham's offspring, the covenant being renewed, the reminder of the covenant that I am your shield and your very great reward. Well, in Genesis chapter 28, as this blessing is bestowed from one generation to the next generation, it is interesting, we have these words, verse 3, may God Almighty bless you. That is, may El Shaddai bless you. May God Almighty, or God All-Sufficient, the same one who came and declared himself to Abram, may God El Shaddai bless you, make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you. It's an echo, but God comes and says the same thing as this covenant is being continued through the generations. I am El Shaddai. And then we get it again in Genesis chapter 35 as just one more example. You can kind of trace this as you go through on your own. But in Genesis 35, you have, again, a reiteration of the promise, of the covenant, of the whole generational reality of it. And God renames Jacob. So he's blessed him in 28. Here in 35, God renames Jacob. And you remember he renames Jacob as Israel. And the wording there in verses 10 to 12 is, again, very interesting in the context of all of this going on when Jacob is given the name Israel. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. And also God said to him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you. Kings shall come from your body, etc., etc. You see the continuity. It is God coming in this instance and saying, I am El Shaddai. I am the God who is powerful to bring to fruition everything I have promised. And by the way, I have promised myself as the one who is all sufficient. I am the blessing. I am El Shaddai. And God continually reminds us that he is absolutely sufficient in power and satisfaction. So the two of these things come together to bring us to himself and to bless us in himself. Right? All of this, as we think about this name that God comes to Abram and says, I am El Shaddai. Now, there's a simple application, profound but simple, that I want to leave with you here in this first point of going through what this name means. And it is a reminder to us that when we are speaking of the covenant, when we talk about covenant blessings, when we talk about these things and the language that we use often uses the term covenant. Right? As we think about covenant, we must remember that this is not some nebulous, generic promise of blessing without any definition. That the essence of the promise of the covenant of grace, the essence of that promise is God is saying to us, I myself am the blessing. I am El Shaddai. I am the blessing. So often, and where the application comes, so often we allow our minds to kind of get into a mentality that says that God is the means to bring us to blessing. And you can have a list, right? You can have a long list of things that we would put in that list of blessing. And so, Lord, what I think that I need in order to be blessed is this, and we fill in the blank. And maybe today we're saying, Lord, if only we could get back to full corporate worship, we would be in a state of blessing. Or maybe we say to ourselves, Lord, if you would just give me a job, then I would be blessed. Lord, if you would just help me fix my family, we would be blessed. Lord, if you would only, and fill in the blank, whatever that is, as good as those things are, we would say, God, you are the means. So God's here, and you are the means that's going to bring us into a state of blessing, whatever we think that is. Now, that is not to say at all that that's not a list of good things. Corporate worship and a harmonious family and all of those kind of things, we talk about, yes, the Lord has blessed us with these things, and in a sense, that's absolutely true. But we get into the mindset that God is simply a conduit. He's a means to bring us to whatever it is that we think is a blessing. When we come back to the essence of the covenant, when we come back to the essence of what God has promised, we are taken to the essence of the promise itself, that God is not just a conduit to blessing, but God himself is the blessing. Now, it's very simple for us to work this through. If we have corporate worship without God, it's Isaiah 1. And it's a stench in God's nostrils. Right? If we gather together as a people and don't have God, which is very possible to do, we don't have blessing. If we have a family that gets along well together and don't have God, we ultimately don't have blessing. You get the point. Whatever that is, God is the essence of the blessing. It is to have God that is to be blessed. He is El Shaddai. He is all sufficient. Only God himself can satisfy. And so we are reminded here that as God comes to Abram and says, I am El Shaddai, I am God all sufficient for your every need, it's me, that he is the blessing. And if we ever find ourselves, and it's just it's a wonderful reminder, and we all find ourselves here from time to time. It's the way our heart works, where we think to ourselves, if only I had this, then I would be blessed. It is to remind ourselves of the fact that whatever we say to ourselves that is not God himself, whatever that is, whatever word that is, whatever concept that is, whatever it is that we're thinking, it is a lie. To think that if only we had this, we would be blessed. No, the only answer to that is El Shaddai. If I have God, then I am truly blessed, no matter what happens. No matter what is given to me, no matter what is taken away from me, if I have God, I am blessed because God is El Shaddai. He is the only one who can satisfy. And that is exactly what he has promised. It's simply not true. It is a lie to say to ourselves, if only I had this. But as we are reminded, as we'll come to the grand crescendo, as we have Jesus Christ, as we think about the gospel, and we think about in the gospel, we receive God. We are reconciled to God. We have a relationship established with God. There is nothing that can hinder. There is nothing that can take that away. There is nothing that can rip us apart from those things. We are blessed because we have El Shaddai. No matter what happens in this life, we are blessed because we have El Shaddai, because we have God, all-sufficient. Now, as we think again beyond the definition here, we come to that concept, and God is not done with Abram here. He says, and here's where we enter into the very essence of the gospel in the covenant of grace. God says to Abram, "Indeed, I am El Shaddai," and then he says to him, here's the call, right? He says to him, "Not only am I all-sufficient for everything, you need nothing outside of me. I am El Shaddai." And then he says, "Walk before me and be blameless." There is the call of El Shaddai. There is the call of God. "I am all sufficient for your every need. So then, walk before me and be blameless." God has just revealed himself to Abram as the God who is all sufficient, that he himself is going to bring him to that state of blessing and be the blessing. And so he says to Abram and to us, "I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I am all sufficient. Avail yourself of this reality. There's nothing that you need outside of me. Everything that you need for this life or the next, everything you need, you look to me. I am El Shaddai. Avail yourself of this reality. Avail yourself of the fact that I am El Shaddai. I am God, all-sufficient. Walk before me." That is, walk in my grace, walk in my glory, walk in my sufficiency, walk in my provisions, walk in everything that I am and everything that I have, and be blameless. You need nothing outside of me. I am El Shaddai. It is from the reality of God's all-sufficiency that we can walk before him and be blameless. We are starting to hear the echoes, indeed, of the gospel. Remember, and be careful as we look at this, we do not hear God coming to Abram and saying, "Be blameless, and then come before me." He doesn't say, "Clean yourself up, and then come to me." He declares himself to be God all-sufficient, the one who is going to meet and can meet your every need. "I am El Shaddai, then walk before me and be blameless." So often, again, we reverse these things in our minds and in our hearts, and we suffer miserably for it. We dare not go to God because we struggle with sin. We say to ourselves, if only God knew and understood what I just have been thinking about, or what I did, or the past week that I've had, or the past month that I've had. I dare not go to God because I have struggled in a particular way with a particular sin, or I dare not go to God because I've made some terrible choices. We don't measure up, and so we won't go to God. And we get this mindset of having to clean ourselves up before we go to God. But you see, God is saying to us the very opposite. We must not seek to be blameless before we walk with God. That is not the message that God is giving to Abraham. God says to Abraham, "I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. I am God all-sufficient. You need nothing else. I will provide everything you need to bring you to that state of blessing that I have promised you. You only need me, and then you walk before me and be blameless." It is a recognition of God as El Shaddai, my all-sufficient one. And so if we are struggling with sin, we don't try to go somewhere else to fix it before we come to God. We go to God who is El Shaddai, and then we walk before God and be blameless. God will not share his glory with another. There is no other place that we can go to receive that which we have been promised. It is God Himself. It's interesting. You see this pattern here, and it becomes one that shows itself over and over and over and over again in the Scriptures. As I was working this through, it's interesting that of the 48 occurrences of El Shaddai in the Old Testament, right, 48 times you find this designation of God in the Old Testament as El Shaddai, 31 of them, almost 65% of them are found in the book of Job. I found that to be fascinating. We know a little bit about, or if you remember a little bit about the book of Job, there is a point here, and I think it's powerfully made in the book. The first 37 chapters of Job, we know that there is Job and his three friends, and they're arguing about God. There's nothing really more that you can conclude in looking through those chapters of Job, that you got a bunch of guys arguing about God. This is what God requires. This is who God is. No, this is who God is. No, this is what God requires. No, this is what God requires. They're arguing, they're bickering, they're complaining about God. They're all kind of misunderstandings, and they're barking at each other and all of those kind of things. It's the noise of the first 37 chapters of the book of Job as they are fighting about God. Until you come to chapter 40, when God finally says, as it were, enough is enough. I've heard enough of the bickering and complaining and the arguing about me. It's almost as if God was listening from the sidelines and kind of said, okay, that's enough now. And in chapter 40, verse 2, it says this, shall a fault finder contend with El Shaddai? When God says, okay, stop. Shall a fault finder, shall the all of you who are bickering and complaining and arguing about me, shall a fault finder contend with God all-sufficient? You are talking about the one who is sufficient in and of himself. Are you really going to contend with me? He who argues with God, let him answer it. And then in chapters 4, the rest of 40 and 41, God reveals his sufficiency and his glory, and we find all of those statements where God says, were you there when the firmament was laid? Were you there when? Were you there when? God's sufficiency, his glory, his power, he just demonstrates it in those chapters. I am El Shaddai. Are you really going to argue? Are you really going to contend with me? Were you there? And it's fascinating. You look at Job and the graciousness of God in sanctifying Job throughout the book. Job's last statement, chapter 42, it's the last chapter in the book of Job. This is how Job finally responds, and Job learns a powerful lesson of what it means that God is El Shaddai. Verse 1 of chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, so here's the grand conclusion. This is where Job has been brought. I know that you can do everything. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked me, who is it who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me. And here is what Job says then. So there's the recognition, right? He's starting to see it. He's starting to get it. I understand in a fresh and vivid way who you are, God, El Shaddai. And he says this in verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear. I have heard people arguing and bickering. I have heard your name. I have heard the theology argued. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now, Job says, my eye sees you. It's not just what I hear about you. I behold you as El Shaddai, as God all sufficient. My eyes have now seen you. Therefore, he says, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. God says to Abram way back in Genesis 17, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Job was brought to the point. Now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. It's the very thing that Job has been brought to. He has come to God. He has seen God with his eyes, not just heard about him. He has seen God with his eyes. He has come to an intimate understanding of who God is and the sufficiency of God. And out of that, Job repents and turns and walks. I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. We see the grand crescendo of this call. We see this grand crescendo in the provision of God, and I'll do this briefly. And we see it in the culmination of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? This call, I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. You see, El Shaddai, God is the one who is calling himself the one who is almighty or all-sufficient. When we think of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we think of the person of Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ not the incarnation of God? Is Jesus Christ not the incarnation of El Shaddai? Is Jesus Christ not El Shaddai himself? In the flesh, the one who has come, Almighty God, sufficient in and of himself to bring his people to himself as the promise. Is Jesus Christ himself not El Shaddai? As soon as you enter into the New Testament, this theme takes center stage. Luke chapter 2, a very familiar passage, a very well-loved passage. Simeon in the temple, right? And you remember, as Simeon was there ministering in the temple, he was holding baby Jesus. He finally got to the point to hold the promised one. And you remember verses 29 to 32, what Simeon says. And I want you to think about Job's statement. I've heard all about you, but now my eyes have seen you. Think here, or listen in that light to what Simeon says. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people. There Simeon is looking at Jesus Christ, El Shaddai in the flesh, and he says, now my eyes have seen your salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was some of Jesus' favorite expressions in his public ministry? Follow me. He will say to others, come to me. He will say to others, abide in me, or to others, believe in me, or trust in me. You read through the Gospels, and Jesus is calling sinners to himself, follow me, come to me, abide in me, believe in me, trust in me. Why? Because he is God incarnate. He is El Shaddai incarnate. Walk before me and be blameless. He is the all-sufficient one who is not only able to bring us to a state of blessing, but he is able to bring us to himself as the blessing. We don't have to clean ourselves up first. We don't have to cry enough. We don't have to do enough. We don't have to put anything in front of that. Jesus Christ says to us, I am El Shaddai. Come to me. I am the one who is all-sufficient for your every need, and I will provide it. Do we come here this afternoon, whether in this room or live stream, or you're sitting there in your living room or at your kitchen table, saying to yourself, I need forgiveness? It is for us to go to El Shaddai. It is for us to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is what we receive. We receive forgiveness. Do we say to ourselves, I desperately need righteousness? I need to be holy in my life. Where do we go? We go to El Shaddai. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I need strength and courage? Do you have a difficult decision to make? Do you have a difficult conversation to have? Do you need to do something that you're struggling with and you need strength and you need courage to be able to do it? Where do you get that? You go to El Shaddai. You go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all sufficient. Do you need compassion and kindness? You know, one of the things that sadly we find reported to us in times of lockdown like this, domestic violence and all of those kind of things on the rise all over the place. People saying, I can't deal with my children. Do we need compassion? Do we need kindness? Do we need patience? Where do we go for this? We go to El Shaddai. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all sufficient for our every need. Do we need fellowship? You know, is this a hard time for you? Because we are not able to meet together, because we are not able to see and to experience the fellowship of the saints, the communion of the saints like we have before. And we say to ourselves, I'm lonely, desperately so. I long for fellowship. This is what I desperately need. Where do you go? You go to El Shaddai. You go to Jesus Christ. There you will find the essence of fellowship. The fellowship that is but just reflected in his people. A wonderful reflection and a glorious reflection and one that brings great peace and comfort to us, absolutely. But it is just a reflection of the fellowship that we receive essentially from Jesus Christ himself. And so do we need fellowship? Go to Christ. It is quite possible to be in a room full of Christians and to still be lonely. Just because we are together doesn't guarantee that we are going to enjoy fellowship. That fellowship comes to us essentially from Christ and then flows out. Are you lonely? Go to El Shaddai. Our God, who is infinite in being, glory, blessedness, perfection, this one that is described for us here in Article 1 of the Belgic Confession. He is infinite in meeting, in his ability to meet our every need because he has promised himself to us. He satisfies not only the filling of our cup to the brim, if you think of that example, right? You fill a cup, you think, oh, the blessings of God, it takes us right to the top. No, that is not the idea. The idea of the Scriptures as we come to an infinite God as one who is all-sufficient, it is God pouring out of that infinity, infinitude, it is God pouring into our cup and it is just spilling over and spilling over and spilling over, never comes to an end. This is the God who comes to us and says, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. God says to us this afternoon, as we read this text, as he comes to Abraham, and he says, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. This is precisely what our God says to us. What Jesus Christ says to us. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Let us pray. O Lord, our great God in heaven, we marvel at who you are. We marvel at the fact that you are a God who is so far above us. We cannot begin to comprehend who you are in your entirety, but we marvel all the more that you have given us the ability, even in our weakness and frailty, to know you. That you have given us the Lord Jesus Christ. And in giving us him, you have given us indeed El Shaddai. We ask you this afternoon that you would renew this longing. That despite all that is going on around us, despite all of the restrictions and all of the difficulties, that you would set our eyes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ freshly and firmly on the one who has been given to us to satisfy our every need, and on the one who can never be taken from us. Indeed, O Lord, thank you for being El Shaddai. Might we walk before you and be blameless. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.